thank you. Nap is over. Welcome back to Project Independence on You. We've been talking and still are talking with Audrey Dinstel, a social worker with Project Independence. We've been having a very interesting conversation. I believe that social work is very not understood as much by people as they should be. I believe that the contribution that are made by social workers is enormous, and they are in the world of helping humanity, if you will, and that's not a bad thing in this day and age. Mm. We have a lot of people going the other way. So let's go on a little bit further with sure. Audrey. One of the areas that I think about sometimes is that you go out and you see people and you go to homes, and most of the things that go on in homes, most of us don't see. You do. And some of it is probably not very good or very nice, and could bother you, I would think. One of the areas that I've heard a lot of times is they talk about caregivers having to take care of themselves. And I believe that that probably applies a little bit to social workers as well. What's your thought about how you contend with, seeing a lot of things that aren't always the bright side of the world? How do you handle that?
Well, it's certainly not easy, because I have seen a lot over the years that it can be very difficult, whether it's the home or what the person has experienced and gone through. The stories that people share are really heartbreaking. So fortunately for me, I don't really take that home so much. I have a family. I still have young children, so they're kind of my self-care
right.
at the moment. When I go home, I focus on my family. But there are times that I do have to talk about what I have seen and heard, so I'll reach out to colleagues so that I can get it out, or do something nice for myself. It can be very exhausting taking in other people's problems and trying to help them as best you can, and it can also be very frustrating because sometimes there aren't answers. There aren't enough resources to really help somebody. And also part of social work is having people help themselves. So sometimes there's only so much you can do, and that's too where the frustration comes in. Because we don't do for people. We help them to do for themselves.
Right. Or hopefully they have somebody around them who will help
them. With support. Yeah.
Unfortunately, some people get to where they can't help themselves at all. And that's where I think a lesson is that we can all be social workers in a way. If you have family members, friends, whatever, it really doesn't hurt to pay attention and don't walk around with blinkers on and make believe that everybody is doing great. Maybe you can contribute to making somebody's life a little bit easier and a little bit better. Be a social worker, if you will.
It's sometimes hard, though, when it's your own family to do that.
Believe me, I know. I've witnessed a lot of it.
But we try to teach, the caregivers how to communicate more effectively, to be better listeners with
now,
your family.
That's an interesting thing. And you provide, if you will, you don't necessarily just deal with the people who need the help, but you can be dealing with caregivers.
Oh, yes.
To help provide them with guidance. Would you say that happens more than the other way around, or?
I think it's a little of both, really. But yeah, I do get a lot of caregivers, adult children, spouses. So, yeah, they're the ones that are often calling because they're stuck. They don't know what to do. They need the support.
I've been there, and it's not easy if you don't know what to do. You can only try, and I think everybody needs help, but people have to get past the idea that this is charity, you know, there, I've known people, I've told many people about Project Independence, and, well, it's like, I don't really need that kind of thing, you know. Well, why not? You know, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with getting some guidance and some support, which I think is primarily...
I think it's just might be a misunderstanding or maybe what they think it is, what it was, you know. So it's, you know, you have to ask. The more information you have, the better decision you can make about if you want the help or not.
Right. You know, like especially going back in my generation, there was a lot of fighting of, I don't need any help, you know, we can do that ourselves, you know, we don't need any counseling, we don't need whatever. There was an attitude, I think, that was a lot stronger back then than it is now. But you're still dealing with people from that generation.
Yes.
So I guess if there's any message that can be gotten out is to take advantage of the help you can get. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, no,
know?
I think everybody needs help at some point in their lives. And it doesn't have to last. It could be very temporary. But there's nothing wrong. It's not a weakness to ask for help. I think it's a strength when you reach out because you want to take care of yourself.
I'm 100% in agreement. Mm-hmm. I think it requires a sense of strength and smarts to say, yes, I need help.
Yes.
Now what? Yeah. You know, what's wrong with that? You know, nothing that I can tell. I have an area that we got involved with that a lot of people really don't like to talk about. Came up at the New Hyde Park Advisory Committee meeting this past Monday, and it had to do with a dementia advanced directive. This was an advanced directive that was more specifically geared to dementia and what stages of dementia you might be in. Is that an area that, you know, obviously this is all, we're not talking about any individual here, but do you see a fair amount of that type of problem, you know, dementia problems?
Dealing with dementia? Yes, it comes up often. I have gotten some training to work with dementia, and just I think educating people on what it is, because dementia is kind of the umbrella
for all
term
for yeah, Alzheimer's, you know, is a form
memory.
Of dementia, right?
Right, Alzheimer's is the most common
right
type of dementia.
Do you work with others that are, if I recall, when Mom was alive? In Port Washington, there is a Center for Alzheimer's. Is it still there?
Oh, no. They moved to Westbury, the Long Island Alzheimer's Foundation. Oh, yeah, they recently moved to, I think it's almost been a year, actually. They're based in Westbury, which is, I think, easier for a lot of people. It's a little more centrally located. I know in Port Washington, it was hard for people to get to.
Yeah, right. There's no real public transportation to get to it, and it was off to the... to the side, away from the harbor area, and
right.
so on. So I can understand that. Can you just give us a brief what they do and whether it's worth going down to them if you need it?
I actually had called them recently, and they had come to some of the advisory board meetings as right. well to inform people of what they do. So they have different groups, day programs. For the different levels of if you have Alzheimer's or dementia, from mild to the more, you know, impacted individual. And they have support for caregivers, that I know, and they provide transportation. But I can tell you that there is a cost involved, a daily cost. So I'd suggest you'd have to call and speak with them. I believe you'd go and do, you know, meet with them, and they'll do their intake and see if it's the right place for you or your loved one. There are other resources out there. I am in the region where I'm close to the Herricks Senior Center. The Herricks has a program, a day program as well, which is a social model program. I believe Parker Jewish Institute has a medical model. So there are differences. The social is more, you know, being social and believe you know, they keep it very structured. There's music and art and exercise. There's lunch provided. So, you know, there are other options out there.
Now, we're talking about direct contact with people, but are you have any familiarity at all with a social worker in a more political kind of situation with legislation? And I mean, I see that was in the scope, and I've come across them when I've had some things and I had to go to the congressman, and the social worker assisted me with an issue that I had. I'm finding every so often in the towns themselves, they're not necessarily counseling in the same way that you do, but they're trying to push for legislation and other matters that involve us, but involve us on a different level or in a different context.
Right. I don't know of any personally. I mean, that's be a lot of advocacy.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, social work, it's related to a lot of what goes on in politics. And even if you're not directly involved, you know, there's always that push. You know, I know I'm a member of NASW, and they're always, you know, saying what they advocate for, and you can get involved, you know, on different levels.
If I'm correct, I think affordable care, getting insurance for people, has been one of the priorities that social workers have advocated for, affordable medical insurance and things that are more global in nature than just, and I don't mean this as a just, but when, you know, I have a mom and she needs this, that, and so on, or someone is in need of something of that nature. So
we're nearing the wind down stage here, Audrey.
Okay.
it goes very quick. We could talk for a little while longer, I'm sure.
Probably.
Yeah. I'm sure if we put our mind to it, we could. it's been very much a pleasure having you here.
Oh, and, thank you.
As you well know, I have very high regard for all of the social workers specifically connected with Project Independence.
And especially his family members.
And what?
And especially your family members.
Yes. because, frankly, you and your partners, your peers, are what make the program tick. And if without good social workers, this program would not work, bottom line. Thank you very much for what you do. And we're happy
you
were here. And I think I'm now getting the high sign from Victoria to shush. That's it. We're now going to take a break. This is WCWP 88.1 FM.